The Network Live. News, insights, and stories right here on KNEL 95.3 FM and knelradio.com every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Don't miss this opportunity to hear world news, insights, and stories from guests around the world. The Network Live is your pathway to connecting people and ministries. Well, good morning and welcome to The Network Live. I'm your host, Debbie Rule. Today, we're going to be listening to a message from Lisa Bevere called Find Your Focus. I hope you enjoy this message today on The Network Live from Lisa Bevere. Also, join us tonight as we celebrate Grandparents' Day. You never know, we might have a couple of special guests. See you tonight at 6 o'clock right here on KNEL 95.3 FM and knelradio.com. Now, here's Lisa Bevere.
Heroes are having done all to stand. They stand, therefore. We cannot be heroes without battles. And so we are chosen in this season, for this time, for this battle. And we are not going to cave. We were made for this day. I was doing an interview during Summer of Strong with Jenny Allen, and she was talking about how so many people wrestling and fighting with anxiety. And she said it was really bizarre because there's this counterintuitive, rescue from anxiety is actually risk. You don't think that risk, but people were actually created to take risks. I'm going to tell you, as somebody who has been married, mentioned 39 years, and lived 61 years, I wish I would have taken more risks early on. I wish I would have let my husband make more mistakes. Don't do that. That would be a mistake. Oh, my gosh. So many things that we could have leapt into that we allowed fear to hold us back on. I don't know if you understand, but every promise of God that God has ever made to you is on the other side of fear. Whenever the angels appear, what do they say? Don't be afraid. They think it's funny. They walk through walls. They terrify us. And they're like, don't be afraid. No, you have to understand we are living in a day and a time where you're going to have to make a daily choice to either be afraid of the circumstances or be afraid of God.
Amen.
A couple months ago, I was invited to come to this summit of Christian women leaders. And one of the worship leaders that was there, worship leaders are sweet. They were like, let's all just confess our sins one to another. I'm like, no, I am not confessing my sin to this room. And I also was thinking, I don't feel like I got any right now. I don't have anything that I need to share with anybody. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, yeah, you do. He said, you're going to confess the sin that every single woman in this room is fighting right now. He said, you're going to confess the sin of the fear of man. See, each and every one of us need to decide that we will not be snared by the fear of man, because we are going to humble ourselves and tremble under the fear of God. We hunger for a holy God, and we hunger for personal holiness, and we are looking at all these other places because we have lost our focus. Jesus is going to have to be our focus in this day and time where everything is trying to distract you with what the media is saying. I don't care if it's conservative media or liberal media. It is a distraction from what God is doing right now. And how many of you know? I don't even know what to believe anymore. I wish I was like, I could believe that news source. Everything is divisive. Everything is distracting. The enemy does not want you to wake up and realize who you really are. He will talk to you about who you've been. He will talk to you about who you are in this moment. But God is the only one who knows who we are becoming. And I believe that the church of Jesus Christ is becoming the glorious, powerful bride, the one that is holy and without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. I believe that God wants you and I to wash the body of Christ with the word rather than accuse and cancel and slander. I also, as a token older person, get invited to different youth things. It's hilarious. They're like, okay, you're over 60. Okay, we need an old person. So I was at a Next Generation Summit about a week and a half ago, and they had an older guy, an older me, and they said, okay, we want to hear what you older people have to say. And they asked us some questions, and I looked at them, and I said, I love that you're aware that the church needs to change. I love that there are things that you see, but you guys are really good at deconstructing things, but you've never built anything. And it's easy to be a critic when you've never built. So we need your questions, but we don't need your criticisms. We need your input, but we don't need your slander. And so I believe that God is anointing a generation to prophesy, and yet they have settled on criticizing. It takes no anointing to read the graffiti on the wall, but it takes an anointing to speak to the light at the end of the tunnel. And we need the old and the young and the women and the men and the visions of dreams of God if we are going to move forward out of this season in beauty and in strength. Jesus is going to have to be our focus, but he will never be our focus if we spend more time looking at what people did than what Jesus is doing. Zig Ziglar said, I don't care how much power, brilliance, or energy you have, if you don't harness it and focus it on a specific target and hold it there, not just a glance, focus, you are never going to accomplish as much as your ability warrants. Focus has the capacity to multiply every talent that you have. Focus has this ability to energize what God has put before you. Hebrews 12:2 says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. How many of you know that Jesus began well and finished well? How many of you know there's a lot of people that begin well and finish stupid? I know I began stupid. Hopefully I'll finish well. Notice I said well, not perfectly, but well, which means that I not only learn from my mistakes, but I allow other people to learn from my mistakes. Because every day in our life, we're either an example or an object lesson. And we can open up our lives and say, hey, I did this, and this was wrong. So in this little service time that I have with you, I'm adopting all of you as my godchildren. I'm going to be your godmother, because godmother isn't just a silly thing. It was an early church thing. When people got born again, they lost their parents. They lost their income. They lost their status and culture. And people would come alongside of them and say, I will take personal responsibility to disciple you. A godmother is somebody that says, yes, I remember being 35 and wanting to divorce my husband, but I stayed with him, and now I like him. We need to be people that we can say, you're going to have a hard season in your life, and you can decide whether that season seasons you with strength or embitters you. You can decide how you're going to go through something, but we need older women who are actually able to impart. See, 0 to 30, we're learning and we're growing. 30 to 60, we're always learning, but we're building and establishing. 60 on, we better be imparting. We better be turning back around, and because the Bible says the path of the righteous winds ever higher, that means I've got aerial views on certain things at 61, that a 31-year-old mother is seeing things so up close, she's like, it's a blur. I get that. But I also can say these are the things you need to hold in front of you. Focus on Jesus. He began and finished. Study how he did it. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. Because he had that going on, he could put up with anything along the way. The cross, shame, whatever. And now he is there in the place of honor, right alongside of God. He is our focus. He is our goal. He is our pattern. We study how he did it, not report how everybody isn't doing it. If I'm so busy telling everybody else what they should be and shouldn't be doing, then I'm going to miss how Jesus did it. Do you know that the people are watching for the Church of Jesus Christ to act like the Church of Jesus Christ. Do you know we're fighting in and among ourselves right now? This says that they're going to know we're Christians by our love one for another, and we're angry with each other because of nonsense half the time. We got to have people that have the right focus. So in our family, there's John who plays golf and tennis, and then there's Lisa that hunts, skis, and surfs. I also had a Ninja motorcycle until my third son wrecked it. And one of the things I learned when I was riding motorcycles is that if you look down, you go down. You will go where you look. And you don't look at where you are on a motorcycle. You look where you want to go. On a roundabout, you don't look at the entrance. You look at where you want to exit. And wherever you are looking to exit, your bike will follow. And we need to understand that we're at some intersections in this life right now. And we are looking where we are instead of where we are needing to go. We need to be people who have the right focus. Yes, the church is not yet where she should be. But God is doing a new thing, and he is perfecting his church. And I'm not going to attack the church, because I know that the church is his bride. And no man loves to have his bride attacked. But the world is attacking us, and we got to decide, are we going to echo the words of the accuser, or are we going to wash the church with the water of the word? Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world. What does that mean? Don't allow it to impress you. Don't allow it to create a pattern. Do not allow it to limit you, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do you know that renewing your mind takes a lot of work? I just went through menopause. Guys, there was a crazy person living in my brain. She was saying things like, punch your husband in the face. She was saying, start yelling on the airplane. Throw off your mask. I mean, I'm like, what in the world? No, crazy woman, you are not allowed to get me to misbehave. I am going to have to renew my mind. I'm not going to let my feelings, hello? I'm not going to let my feelings take me emotional hostage. Guys, feelings will lie to you. But God is not a man that he should lie. God will never lie to you. Feelings will lie to you. God will not lie to you. You've got to renew your mind by reading the Word of God. You got to read the Word of God until it reads you. I would rather read a scripture and ponder on one scripture and say, how does that apply to my life? How does that apply to how I interact with my husband? How does that apply to how I interact with my team, my children, my neighbors? I would rather read one scripture and live it than read an entire chapter and just have a checklist. We need to be people where the Word of God is made flesh in our life. That means that people can see that the Word of God is transforming us, because we live in a day where a lot of things sound right but feel wrong. We're going to have to be people of discernment. Discernment isn't about suspicion. Discernment is the ability to see the light at the end of the tunnel. I remember a man, this beautiful man, adopted me as like a spiritual father. Right before I got married to my husband, he said, you know, baby girl, you haven't really had a dad in your life. For the next couple weeks, I want you to have dinner on Sunday with my wife and I, and I'm going to be your dad. We wash cars together. I ask him different questions. And he said things to me about my destiny that I did not look anything like in that moment. He had discernment. He said, I see who you are right now, but I have the ability to see who you're becoming. And we need to be discerning people. We need to speak to who we are becoming, who our children are becoming, not get mired down in who they've been or who they are in a moment. Discernment rightly divides. How many of you know we're living in a day where everybody can have their own truth? You can have your truth. I can have my truth. My truth could change next week. No. I can have a story. I can have something that is true of me. Like what's true of me right now is I have 5 grandkids. I forgot to show you my 5th one. Can we throw up Scarlett? Is that too hard right now? Anyway, that's like so dishonoring. I forgot my 5th grandbaby. There she is. Okay, there's Scarlett. Okay, what's true is I got 5 grandbabies. What I hope will be true in 5 years is I'll have 10 grandbabies. But that's not true of me right now. That's not my truth. That's just my hope right now. True of changes with circumstances and time. But the truth never changes. Because the truth is not a what. The truth is a who. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by him. People say, well, I don't believe that there's just one way. Well, you can believe whatever you want. But Jesus said the road is broad that leads to destruction and the way is narrow that leads to life. So I don't want you to not hear from me that Jesus isn't the way, the truth, and the life. And yet he says, come, all of us. We don't have to make ourselves perfect. We can just come. He invites everyone in. Come, you who are hungry. Come, you who are thirsty. Come, where you have nothing. Jesus is our way. He is our way. And we have so many people that are getting in the way of seeing who Jesus really is. I love 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 through 6. It says, and this is Paul talking to the Thessaloniki church, but I feel like I could say this to my Twin Rivers Toasted Ravioli Church. He is saying, it is clear to us, friends, that God not only loves you very much, that's awesome, but he's also put his hand on you for something special. See, I have to believe if you and I are alive in this time, then God has his hand on us in this time for something special. When the message we preach came to you, it wasn't just words. Something happened in you. The Holy Spirit put steel in your convictions, not your opinions, your convictions. Convictions were things that were core values that were attached to the Word of God. People now are more attached to their opinions or other people's opinions. We need to have convictions that are anchored in the rock, not attached to opinions that are the river and flow of human counsel. Convictions. It says you paid careful attention to the way we lived among you and determined to live that way yourself. In imitating us, you imitated the master, although great trouble accompanied the word. You guys hear that? Great trouble will accompany the word. You were able to take great joy from the Holy Spirit, taking the trouble with joy and the joy with trouble. So I'm a boy mom, which means I see mostly boy movies. I've just recently started to watch anything that had any like women in it, things like Alias. Again, that's pretty much a boy movie. But I have watched things like Justice League, Venom, Avengers. These are like, that's my world. So if I'm going to use an example, it's going to be from a boy mom example vantage. One of my favorite examples for focus comes from the movie The Man of Steel. Superman is flashing back to when all of his superpowers come into play. He's a young boy sitting in a classroom, and the teacher is asking him a question that he actually knows the answer to, but he can't even answer her because he no longer sees just her. He sees inside of her. He can see her heart. He can see her ribcage. He can see her lungs. He's overwhelmed by the sound of a clock ticking, a pencil tapping on a desk. He runs out of the room, locks himself in a closet. They can't get him to come out, and they call for his mom. And his mom shows up, and he says, Mom, the world is just too big. And she says to him, then make it smaller. I want you to know you have every right to be the gatekeeper of your life. You are the one that chooses what you let in and what you don't let in. I have the privilege of writing. I send my manuscripts in one way. It comes back completely a different way. Why? Somebody takes the time to edit it so that what is important remains and what is peripheral is edited out. We are a people right now where everybody is overrunning the boundaries of our life. Your inability to connect with everything coming your way is not a failure. It is a fail-safe. We are a people bowing to a world we can hold in our hands. It is called our phones. We look down, bowing. They're saying the postures of humans are going to be completely different a decade from now because we are looking down so much. They're saying everybody is going to roll over head down. No. God is saying to a generation, put down that world you can hold in your hand. Go outside, lift your eyes, look at the stars, and remember the God who holds the entire world in his hand. We need to understand that God will ask us outside into the wildness of creation so that something dormant inside of us can be reawakened. It's the same reason why he made Abraham go outside of the tent of what he had created and the disappointment that he had lived under and said, look up at the stars and count them if you can. I believe God is still saying to our generation, go outside, look at the stars, and remember who I am. This is not about the enemy. This is not about the pandemic. This is not about the vaccine. This is not about the president. This is about, do you believe I am bigger? I believe that God is doing something, and he is looking for a people that will be like the two spies that came back with a good report. Oh, there were 10. So what about our children? What about our wives? There was 10 that said the land is filled with people who are fierce. The land itself devours the people. It's a walled city. Oh, yes, there's produce that's good, but it's going to be bad for our family. Joshua and Caleb, it said, had a different spirit, and they silenced the people. And they said, our God is well able. Do we believe that we can be a people of a different spirit? Well, if we're going to have a different spirit, we're going to have different intake. We're going to have more time in the presence of God and more time in the Word of God than on Netflix. We're going to have to lean in to a holy God because that's actually what we're hungry for. Because we will never have authority over the things that we choose to be entertained by. You know, John and I launched the app and are so honored and privileged that we get to translate resources and courses. And Pastor mentioned the book Killing Kryptonite in Albanian. And one of the things that that book addresses is the bondage of pornography. Do you know we have this big Christian app and the number one thing people search on our app is how to get free from pornography? Because the enemy has come in a season where people can make a choice, and he has entrapped the men and the women in the church with the things that unmake us, the things that demean us, the things that debase us, the things that accuse us, the things that shame us. And yet God is saying, I'm going to call my people out of a season of darkness into a season of light. I believe that this is our time where we can shake ourselves and say it doesn't matter who we've been in the past. We're going to lean into something different in the future. God has a reset for each and every one of us every single morning. His mercy is new every morning. We don't carry the shame and sin of yesterday into the next day. We have a reset of mercy that is new every single morning. But we need to edit our lives. We need to edit our lives for what is important. And I'm going to tell you the most important people are the people you can see, the people that you can touch their face, your husband, your wife, your children. How dare you allow the words of random strangers to come into your world and have more influence than the people who know you and love you? We got to change our focus. 2 Peter 3:1 says, my dear friends, this is now the second time I've written to you. Both letters reminders to hold your minds in a state of undistracted attention. Undistracted attention is focus. What you behold is what you become. Look what Jacob did. Jacob, he marks up just different pieces of wood so that when the sheep would come to drink and mate, they would have imagery of spotted and speckled in front of them. And they reproduced after what they saw. Well, if they can reproduce after what they saw, what do you think we do when we put idols in front of us? Those idols begin to war against the image of God that God imprinted us with. So we need to put those things aside and remember who our focus is and hold our mind in a state of undistracted attention. I am responsible for what holds my mind. You are responsible for what holds your mind. We live in a culture that wants to entertain you and anesthetize you, but you need to shake yourself and say, I believe that God is doing a new thing, and I don't want to miss it in this moment. I believe this is a promise of God that is renewable every single year. It's Luke 4, verses 18 through 19. It was Jesus talking about himself. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and to announce this is God's year to act. I believe the Spirit of the Lord is upon you for all of the very same reasons. Being the church of Jesus Christ is not about an attendance. We come here because the perfecting of the saints, the training of the saints, the discipline of the saints happens here so we can go out there to do the work of the ministry. So I want you to all stand up on your feet and I want to pray a Godmother prayer over you. Can I do that? I'm going to pray over you like I prayed over my sons. I don't know what your background was. I was raised to be an exceptional heathen. And when I became a Christian at 21 years of age, I heard the word of God for the first time. I found out, wait a minute, like I can read the word of God. I can draw a line in the sand. I can say the legacy of loss, the legacy of divorce, the legacy of alcohol abuse, the legacy of brokenness, that's over, and we're stepping into a new legacy. I remember Psalm 45, verses 10 and 11. Instead of the likeness of your father, you will bring forth sons in the likeness of your husband. And I knew that Jesus was my bridegroom. I said, instead of the likeness of my natural inheritance, I'm going to bring forth my children according to my spiritual inheritance. We're going to change natural for supernatural. I remember everything shifting. And I remember watching my boys. I would line them up every single night and I would say, you are for signs and wonders and miracles. You are not for death and destruction. You are disciples taught of the Lord, and great is your peace and undisturbed composure. They're like, what's composure? I'm like, it doesn't matter. When you need it, you will have it. Then I'd be like, we're gonna put our armor on. We're gonna put our armor. They're like, really? We just wanna put our pajamas on like normal children. I'm like, you are not normal children. You are sons of the Most High God. They're like, oh my gosh. I'm not a morning person, so I made them sleep in their armor. I was like, we just sleep in it in this house. I remember my son went to youth group and he came back, he had this little scroll rolled up. You have to do it now. And so I remember I had waited up late because there was a blizzard waiting for Alec to come home. And he shows me the little scroll. I'm like, that's awesome. Go to bed. He's like, Mom, what do you think I'm called to be? And I heard the Holy Spirit say, don't you paint a world too small for him. I looked at him and I said, Alexander, I believe you're called to see up close what your father and I have only seen in the distance. Father, I believe, Alec, that you are called to lay hold of with your hands the things that we've only handled in prayer. I believe you're going to speak out loud and with great boldness what we've only dared to whisper. And I remember seeing something like enlarged in my son's heart when I spoke those things. He looked at me and he said, I know. But as time has passed, I've realized that wasn't just a word for my sons. That is a word for God's people.
Thank you so much for being with us today. If you would like to hear a rebroadcast of The Network Live, visit knelradio.com or find our podcast on iTunes and podbean.com. To follow more news, insights, and stories, follow The Network Live on Facebook. If you would like more information about being a guest on The Network Live, contact us at thenetworklive.org. The Network Live will be back next week at 10 a.m. right here on KNEO Radio 95.3 FM and knelradio.com. I'm Debbie Ruhle. Thank you for listening today.